This brother, who was 15 at the time, told my parents that he would rather have a dog. But somewhere along the line, he kind of changed his mind. My mom told me about how when I was a baby, he was 6'3½", and he would hold me up against the ceiling, and I would just look down at him and laugh. And I don't know if that did it, but he took me fishing as a kid. He gave me rides in his Austin Healey convertible. He gave the best Christmas presents. He taught me how to play tennis, shoot hoops. When I was in high school, he was the definition of cool, a medical professional who drove a Porsche and had a house where you could walk out his back door to the beach in California. When I had competitive events in high school miles away, he would be there in the final rounds, cheering me on. And over the years, we've just grown closer. Now, there were some things that I couldn't share with my brother, because after all, he's my brother, and there are certain things you want to maintain, but those I could usually share with my sister, who was 17 years older. As a matter of fact, when I was born, the pediatrician told my mom, who was overwhelmed with twins who were still in diapers, well, put him in her room. So we were close. And I was blessed to have both of them in my life, because they were role models who encouraged me to do my best, you know, who loved me through thick and thin. I always looked forward to spending time with them. They sacrificed more time for me than I realized, you know, at the time. It was no small thing. Again, I was blessed. And I share that with you because as good as that was, God tells us about something better. A love that goes even deeper. It's like this, but it's more of, this is the original kind of thing. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. Just four verses. I'll read to you from the New Living Translation. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into his salvation. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. For he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. He also said, I will put my trust in him. That is, I and the children God has given me. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Let's pray again. Lord, this is your word, this is your truth, and we ask that through your Spirit you would speed it to our hearts, because, oh, we need you, and we need to know what it says. Help us in this, lead us in this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You ever think about Jesus as your brother? I mean, sometimes maybe you had a brother or sister who didn't make that so easy. I mean, those two twin brothers I mentioned, you know, when I was coming up, I was like, go away, kid, you bother me, you know. I was 2 years younger, and you can understand that. But think about Jesus, perfect, perfect older brother, not a flaw in him. Do you ever think of him that way? Because I don't think of him that way as much as I should. But that's what Scripture says he is. That's what God wanted for us. We have, as verse 11 says, the same Father. And that makes perfect sense, right? It was Jesus who taught us to pray, Abba, Father. And in that closeness, that's a very filial, family expression. In that closeness, if God is our Father, our daddy, if you will, Jesus is our brother. Verse 17, Jesus had to be made like us in every way. Verse 14 tells us, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. Now, we can't pass over that too quickly. I like what Ben Patterson, a theologian, commented on this passage. The writer of Hebrews has in mind the whole range of things that make up what it means to be a human being. Jesus was one of us. If you find it difficult to pray because of shame or fear or judgment, this passage is good news for you. Jesus is your brother. He knows what it's like to be a human being. He knows what it's like to be afraid and tempted and weak because he was made like you in every way. Hey, I'm not talking about that brother who used to hold you down on the ground and torture you. I'm talking about the one who would lift you up, who loves you. And do we get that? Do we honestly get that? Because at the heart of that is the uniqueness of the message of Christianity. In every other religion of the world, it's up to us. It's up to us. The message of Christianity is different in the regard that it is by grace you are saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So whether we're talking about five pillars that we have to maintain, or cycles of reincarnation that we have to go through, or certain steps of righteousness to pursue through lifetimes, how different this message is. It means that you and I can run to someone who understands us. I don't want this to just be a sentimental kind of thing. I mean, think of it. How well does your family know you? You ever notice how if you come from a large family and you haven't been together for years, and then you tend to get together and you regress maybe 20 years, you know, you start behaving in a childish way, you know, you start maybe popping off in somewhere. So, you know how it is. I mean, some of that is part of the fun of it. But to have one who just gets you, just knows you, that's the good part about it, right? Someone who knows your strength, someone who believes in you. That thing you can't tell anyone else about. That struggle in your heart that no one else really understands. Jesus gets it. Because he gets you. That burden that you bear, and it may be many. I mean, you may make a list. I made a list this morning. You don't feel that you can really bring to others because they're only human, you know, and there's only so much. You can give it to him. All of it. And in doing that, he will meet you in that place. He understands it better than you or I do. And because of that, he said his Spirit would lead us into truth. He can lead us to where we need to be through his Spirit. Jesus understands perfectly. Jesus is both God and fully human. He's got our DNA down. And he understands us perfectly. The one who prayed, "Why have you forsaken me?" gets it when you and I have questions, when we don't know why God has allowed things to work out the way they have. By becoming flesh and blood and dying for us, God meets us where we are and then lifts us to himself. Look at the last part of verse 14. Only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Look at the world today, and sometimes you might think that power is invincible. Look at the hatred in our world. Look at the opposition that people have to each other. Look at the violence in movies. Watch some movies, you'd think the devil is invincible, right? Stand at the grave of a loved one. Feel the iron finality of grief. Sometimes we can feel that way, right? But that's the beautiful thing about Jesus. He really is risen. He really has conquered death. And because he has, he can give us hope in the deepest places of grief. It's amazing how honest the New Testament is about the apostles, isn't it? I mean, so you think about Thomas and his doubts about Jesus. You think about Peter and his denying Jesus. You think about all of them fleeing Jesus the night of the crucifixion. You think about James, his own brother, earlier. How, you know, his brothers come to get him because they thought he was out of his mind. Remember that? And you see all of this happening, and then you see what happens after the resurrection, right? I mean, Peter, James, you see these men going to their deaths, affirming the very thing that they had been running from. You see them suffering and living lives of hardship. People like Paul, who once opposed Christianity, because the risen Jesus then appeared to him and it changed him. You see James, the brother of Jesus, showing up for the very first time as a believer after the resurrection. What is that? You know, you see your own brother rise from the dead, that would do it. That would change how you feel about him. I love the fact that the New Testament is so honest about these things. But you can't deny looking at that before and after, something happened. Something undeniable that changed their minds, and they knew it, and they knew him. It's the only really, truly plausible explanation. Why else would they go there? Remember the words to the song we sang, great hymn, joyful, joyful. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness. Drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. It's nice words, beautiful words. There's another line, the reason why I chose that hymn, thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. This goes to the heart of what it means to genuinely know Jesus. To know him not because of, you know, our being so good that we know him, but because of his goodness to us that helps us know him, that genuinely meets us where we are. That's the entire truth behind the crucifixion and the resurrection. It's that personal thing. This goes deeper than we know. I mean, as I was thinking about how do I wrap up this sermon, you know, I was wanting to come up with some sort of, you know, neat illustration that would put it all together in some little bow, and here it is. And but I realized that won't work. So I'm just going to tell you about what happened this morning. This morning, I spent some time. I find that. Before I prepare a sermon, and I write sermons on Wednesday, and then I edit them on Sunday morning. And I'm always kind of thinking about them. But Wednesday morning is when I do it. And because with my thick head, I need plenty of time to be able to go back and, maybe. So anyhow, I also find that before I preach, I have to prepare my spirit more than anything else. Because have you ever noticed how you have some of your best fights on the way to church? You know? I mean, if, especially if you had kids. Yeah, I mean, that was when, man, it just all broke loose, right? Well, try being a preacher. You know? I mean, your worst faults and foibles, you know, it's like, hit that chord, you know? And so I'm spending time with God this morning, and then I started thinking of some other pastors who are preaching this morning, so I thought, well, I'll send them a text. Just let them know I'm praying for them. So two came to mind, and then three, and then four, and a couple of guys who aren't pastors. And just asking God to bless them, to move through them, you know, as they're worshiping, because what you want to be is a conduit for the Holy Spirit to move through. And so after that, I got on the treadmill briefly because I like to be awake for church. It's terrible when you fall asleep during your own sermon. But I'm praying, and I put my headphones on, and there's this song called The Blessing, And it's just, may his blessing be upon you and your children and their children to 1,000 generations. And it's just, and you know, as I was praying for God to bless these other pastors, I put on my headphones. I didn't even punch a button. It was already on my phone going. Right? Do you see that? I had turned my phone off. I had charged it. I hadn't done anything else on my phone. And yeah, okay, I'm sure there's a technical reason for it. But I'm going to believe that we have a God who meets us in unexpected places, who meets us personally, who meets us individually, who loves us and knows and loves us fiercely enough to embrace our questions and our doubts and our fears. And I see that love in the face of Jesus and in the life of Jesus and in the death of Jesus and in the resurrection of Jesus. I got a text back from one of my friends. This is a man whom I've mentioned before. He's a layman, kind of a lay preacher, though, lives in Louisiana. All I said was, praying for you and your dear wife to be blessed as you worship today. And he said, thank you, James. That is our heartbeat. That is our heartbeat. And then he said, praying also for you and your family to experience his presence in a beautiful way. May we pray. Lord, you keep our hearts beating every moment. You make our hearts beat. But oh, for you to be our heartbeat, for our hearts to live in love with you. Thank you, you came for this very reason. Thank you, you died and rose from the dead for this very reason. Thank you that we can come to you, and that whoever comes to you, you will never turn away. Abba, Father, your love is breathtaking. Jesus, thank you that you love us like a brother, only better. Holy Spirit, we praise you. You are his presence with us. We bow before you. We worship. In Jesus' name. Amen. last name of Tarkenton, wrote, I wish that there were some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all of our pain and all our heartaches and all our poor selfish grief could be dropped like some shabby old coat at the door and never put on again. That's where Jesus meets us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Whoever comes to me, it's on the outside of the door as you enter the sanctuary, I will not turn away. That's the kind of brother he is. That's how good he is. How blessed we are to turn to him. I encourage you to do that if you never have. There may be a care you want to cast on him. There may be just something on your heart you'd like to pray with someone about. We have, Dennis is here. We have an elder here in the front who would pray with you after worship. Ken, also there in the back, would gladly pray with you after worship. I'm here to pray if you need me. But how good that you can just come to him. Thank you, Abba, Father, for your beautiful Son, our Savior. Thank you that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us, your word promises. Thank you, we can lay down the past and make a new beginning with you. We rest in you this day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all God's people say, Amen. Go in peace.
See ya. Yeah. I Thank you.